So yesterday we heard quite a lot of talks devoted to the formalism of gyrokinetic theory and trying to describe low-frequency plasma dynamics. And today, this subject of my talk will be actually more on implementation issues of those equations into algorithm. And in particular, I'll be talking about the particle approach to solving the kinetic equations. And so for the last number of years, I've been looking at trying to implement gyrokinetic Vlasov equation type equations and also sort of regular Vlasov type equations into sort of particle models using sort of hybrid sort of full dynamic particle orbit falling full dynamic particle orbits and guiding center motion, say, for another species, and trying to sort of try to attack different regimes of plasma dynamics. So here's sort of brief outline of my talk. I'm going to just sort of motivate why we like to sort of build such kinds of models for the study of collisionless type plasmas. I'll introduce the equations in continuum form and then talk about how we make those equations into a discrete particle representation and then try to couple those to Maxwell equations. And then I'll describe some techniques we can use that were sort of really developed very much in the 90s. I mean, beginning in the 80s, but really developing much more in the 90s in trying to make quieter, trying to study simulations which you have problems in which you might have, say, a very low, weekly growing instability, for example, or doing systems near marginal stability, for example. And I'll give a couple of examples of implementation of these methods to studies of classical problems such as linear Landau damping and also collisionless magnetic reconnection. So the one point I want to make, which is very important, is to distinguish a plasma medium from any other kind of medium, and other kinds of mediums such as, say, for example, neutral gases or materials, solid materials, for example. The unique feature of a plasma is it has a special nonlinearity, and that is one associated with particle trapping. So, so you can generate local fluctuations, and particles can be trapped, and then this can make a very unique behavior to other types of matter. Now, one of the issues here is that this sort of nonlinearity can have a lot of consequences when one is trying to study transport coefficients and trying to understand the phenomenon of relaxation to, say, some particular new equilibrium, such as, for example, a force-free state where, say, currents are aligned with magnetic field, for example. So this is one of the issues, one of the nonlinearities in particular that I'm quite interested in studying. Now, in this talk, I'm going to be describing dynamical simulations of the kinetic equations using initial value approach, and they're based on this particle and shell method, which has really been sort of invented in the late 50s and developed somewhat in the 60s, but really in the 70s when computers, we had more powerful supercomputers, it became quite a powerful method for investigating collisionless plasma dynamics. Okay, so I'm just going to show, again, equations which were just shown yesterday in some more detail, but basically we're interested in solving for the evolution of the distribution function without collisions. And we, if we write it in this form and we have this phase space variable, then these equations obey the Newton-Lorentz laws based on the E and B fields here. So this is equations of motions that we want to solve for. And those generate currents and charge densities through the integration to get the positions. And so then those go into the source terms for Maxwell equations. And I've written Maxwell equations here in a form which you may or may not be used to seeing. Is it's written here as these are purely radiation electromagnetic fields, and this is the Poisson equation, the Gauss's law, which is written here representing only the electrostatic field. And this is because you write, you can break up E into a part which is a zero curl, which is EL, and a zero divergence, which is this ET. And then you can make a nice separation of electrostatic physics and electromagnetic physics. Now, a big breakthrough occurred in trying to make a collisionless type kinetic model based on particles. So not actually trying to solve for the little f in the previous page, that's the continuum f, but trying to solve for an f which is close to that little f, we call it big F, that's the discrete distribution function based on a large ensemble of particles. The big breakthrough, the big through work done with John Dawson and Ned Birdsall and Oscar Buhnemann, was to recognize that one could actually introduce a force law, and it's denoted here, really, it's we call this the sort of shape factor, but it's basically a factor such designed such that when particles, so we don't actually model individual particles, that's an impossible task for many plasma applications, but you try to model superparticles. So one particle represents a cloud, so you have millions and millions of particles, and the trick was to actually have these say many fewer superparticles interact in such a way that when they actually came close to each other, their force law went to zero, so they wouldn't suffer collisions. Okay, and so this is a way of trying to include sort of collisionless dynamics, was to negate the collisions through this this factor S here. And so this is like a convolution product between this force law modification and the fields. So this was the new dynamical equations of motion, and you got actually two things, two good things came out of this insight, was to make the force law go to zero at small distances, but then also if you were using clouds of charge rather than individual charges, then you actually got a smoothing effect, because now you don't represent the charges as delta functions in space, you represent them as clouds. And so this is sort of a smoothing effect. A nice convenient shape factor turns out to be a Gaussian. And the Gaussian has the same form. If you Fourier transform, the Gaussian has the same form in Fourier space, so one could actually then use that technique here to solve the Gauss's law or convert to Poisson equation. And then fast Fourier transforms were pioneered by Hockney and Buhnemann, and they were able to solve these and get multidimensional calculations going. And so this has been sort of the framework that has really been built upon from the 60s into the 70s. And yes. Okay. So yes, you must be careful on how you, I mean, basically let's think about just say electrostatic problems. I mean, this is a boundary value problem, so you can well pose the problem. So you have actually limited choices of boundary conditions. You can use Neumann boundary conditions, Dirichlet boundary conditions, for example. It's difficult to do open boundary conditions. That's where things get a little more difficult. But if you formulate this as a Green's function problem, you can worry about sort of you can sort of do boundary effects kind of through use of Green's functions, for example. That's another approach. So There has been work done on various kinds of boundary conditions, but it all depends on the application you're looking for. If you're studying things in space, open boundaries are, of course, necessary. Whereas if you're studying laboratory plasmas, you need sort of to fix boundary conditions. Typically, Neumann or Dirichlet are used. Is that answer your question? Okay. Okay, so this is much of the technology here is really summarizing the two books on computer simulation using particles with Hawking, Eastwood, and Berzelanghi. And the Reviews of Modern Physics article by John Dawson this also summarizes much of this. Now you can now I mean, a lot of this was discussed yesterday, but basically now, supposing that we want to study now lower frequency waves, lower compared to the gyro frequency, because the physics that you can really study with these models is problems that involve resolution of the gyro frequency, which is a very fast time scale. So to study physics on longer time scales, one needs to either do what Dr. Boutez is going to talk about on implicit methods, trying to solve this system implicitly, or you can actually go to analytical averaging methods, such as the gyrokinetic method, in a way to generate equations of motion, non-dissipative equations of motion, that allow you to sort of work within the framework of this particle method. So just as you had to take these characteristics of the Vlasov equation, you make a transformation from coordinates xv to guiding center coordinates. So now your phase space is guiding center position, peril velocity, and then magnetic moment, which we assume in the strongly magnetized case is conserved. And so we saw yesterday some of the ordering assumptions that you go into gyrokinetics, and we would like to, in many applications, resolve wavelengths on the order of the ion gyro radius or even smaller. So you can, of course, reverse these orderings and make, you know, electron gyrokinetics and ion folded drift kinetic, for example. So when we speak about drift kinetic, we talk about this evolution equation for the distribution function. So these are the characteristics. And we have parallel motion along a tilted magnetic field, B star. So that's the, say, static magnetic field, and then you have your fluctuating magnetic field, and that, so you have a ballistic motion along this fluctuating field, and the particles then move parallel and across the field by E cross B drift in response to from the forces, the paraelectric force and the inductive electric field here, which relate to the rate of change of the vector potential. And so if we include the ion Lambert radius effects, we have this gyro phase averaging operator, and it's kind of done in real space because we don't do this Bessel functions and k-space product. And this is the sort of formulation of the problem based on particles. That's the continuum model, and the model based on particles is to take those characteristics and then form the distribution function from those large ensemble. I don't have time to go into details, but analogous to the previous equations, Vlasov-Maxwell system, you have a Poisson or Gauss law, and you have an Ampere's equation. Here I'm actually not using E and B, I'm actually working with phi and A. And these are basically some approximation of Maxwell equations based on that ordering. And so for the strongly magnetized case, you have parallel currents, which generate the vector potential. Curl that gets the magnetic field, induced magnetic field, and then your fluctuations in electrostatic potential come from density response of the electrons minus the ions. So when you put all this together in a dynamical model and you start with some initial conditions, say you just use a Maxwellian distribution initially, so it's a thermal plasma, over a long time you'll get oscillations, and the frequency of the simulation is this modified Schiraffane. The Schiraffane wave, remember, recall, is a mode associated with line bending, field line bending. And because you have now, when you go down to small scales, like the inertial scale, C over omega P, and also Larmor radius scale, then you get significant dispersion in the Alphane wave here. And then what happens is the phase velocity of the Alphane wave starts to become, starts to lie inside the electron distribution function, and therefore you have this wave-particle interaction physics, which is very important for this type of Alphane wave, as opposed to the normal Schiraffane wave, which is just omega is equal to T parallel VA, which you get from fluid theory. So basically, to solve these equations, again, this is a boundary value problem. These are boundary value problems. It's operators you could invert and solve for the self-consistent fields to push these particles. Now, actually, just as a technical aside here a little bit, is because we don't exactly like, well, you could do it different ways. It's not so numerically good to work with derivatives of, with respect to time in these characteristics. So there's actually a way that you can make the problem such that your Maxwell equations or field equations can be actually treated as boundary value problems. And so what you do is you work with what's this canonical momentum. So you construct a P composed of a V parallel velocity and vector potential, and you form a generalized potential, and then you can have equations of motion for the particles, which have, again, here's a parallel free streaming part, and then here's the E cross B drift essentially, and then you have this evolution of this canonical momentum. And so this is very straightforward set of ordinary differential equations to integrate, and but the consequence of doing this is that your Ampere's equation becomes a Helmholtz, actually a nonlinear Helmholtz equation, because now you have this this operator here, and this plasma frequency squared is proportional to density, so it actually has can have radial variation with space. So this is actually you must often include this effect, and also there's a convolution term here. And a second order term. So you can neglect this and then solve for A and then substitute back and do an iterative procedure and converge, make a convergence criterion to get that accurately solved. No, that was actually this iterative procedure? No, that's developed a long time ago by Stanford Golub. At Stanford was one of the developers of this iterative Helmholtz solver. That's an old technique. Right. I'm using a modified method, not exactly their method, but a different method to actually get a more accurate solution of that equation. So. I mean, you could use multi-grid methods or other methods, but you can improve the accuracy of that. But I'm not exactly sure of the method that others have been using. Okay, so now I'm going to spend a few slides here just on introducing now methods, low noise methods. Now you can actually do a limited class of problems with the technique I outlined before. Typically, if you have instabilities in which the growth rates or the real frequencies will very strongly you can often see the instabilities above the statistical noise, which is always a problem with the particle methods. So that's because you're trying to represent the whole distribution function with particles. So it actually, if you have situations in which the perturbation of the distribution function due to instabilities is only 10 to the minus 5 of the background, well, it doesn't make sense to then represent everything with particles. You should try to maybe see if you could try to concentrate the resolution, the particles into the where changes are occurring. So these techniques have been worked on over the last 15, 20 years with more and more progress, and we finally sort of have a fairly good workable method. And I'll describe how one can sort of proceed with formulating it. So what you do is you break up F into some piece we'll call the background piece, which is say time independent, and the part that you want to represent with particles. Now this is just for the collisionless system I'm emphasizing. So if you do this breakup, then you have kind of equations describing some, for example, equilibrium condition. So you would have, and this again, this Z here is representing the space space X and V. But it could be the characteristics of the Jarkin-Vlasov equation. Anyway, you have this equation, and then you have the equation for the evolution of delta F. Now, if you want to work within the framework of the particle method, you can assign delta F to be basically markers in phase space, and you can then try to associate the marker, have the marker, the perturbed F weighted. Okay, and the advantage of this is that you can then somewhat tailor your resolution to where you want, where the important changes are occurring in the distribution function. So this might be an analogous way of looking at, analogous way of doing adaptive gridding, if you will. So you can do sort of an adaptive type method by adapting the particle resolution here with this marker function G. And the good thing is that this actually obeys this sort of Liouville theorem as well. So you can actually use a numerically loaded distribution function and then use this as the weighting. Okay, so then now we need to have the equation of this weight. So we go back to this delta F evolution equation. This is sort of a form which we'd like to make into like a Lagrangian form. So we can work with the total derivative here. So we would basically just essentially sort of divide by F naught in both sides, and then we would get an equation that's sort of in the framework within particles, where you work with the total derivative on the left side, and then you have a source term here on the right side, which is related to the gradient of F divided by F. In this problem, I'll show you they're fixed, but this is sort of new research now, is how to maybe make sources and sinks and try to vary the number, and then you could try to improve your resolution, because eventually the markers wander off in the phase space. That's one of the problems I'll talk about later. Okay, that's good. Okay, so here's I'll just give sort of some couple quick view graphs on examples. Oh, that's interesting. You can see that fluctuated there. It's not moving in time. I loaded in here a marker distribution. This is using a quasi-random sequence, a Hammersley sequence, for the phase space. And here, this calculation, here's the Maxwellian distribution. This is V versus X, just one dimension here now, no magnetic field. And here we have a beam distribution here represented in this part of the phase space. So first of all, I'm going to neglect the beam and just look at Landau damping, see how good we can do, and then we can compare these with, say, Vlasov codes to see what is the lower threshold here. So here we perturb F very weakly, and we get, this is the electrostatic energy for a particular wave mode versus time. And here you see for sort of a weak perturbation, you get sort of this linear Landau damping rate, and then you start to get these recurrence oscillations, which is typical of when you have this Landau damping, and then there's recurrence effects as the particles become sort of recorrelated, and then you get oscillations. And here, you can see if you do sort of random loading, you get sort of a cutoff. It only goes down a couple orders of magnitude, but if you use the more uniform loading, you get a much larger decay rate here. And if you, that's linear Landau damping. Now, if you actually use a larger perturbation, then you can start to get the linear rate reversed, and you get basically formation of a BGK type mode, a Bridgestine Green Kruskal mode, which is you basically have phase space trapping, which was kind of discussed yesterday. Okay, now if dramatic example here is, now this is a Maxwellian with that little beam. You can hardly see the bump here, but this is the beam distribution. And if you try to do this with a normal full dynamic full F particle code, you see that after about a beam density of about 0.01, you can't really pick out any growth rate. But when you actually see, the thing is that you initialize your delta F perturbation at t equals zero, so you can initialize that to be the machine precision of the computer, and then you can actually see the nice amplification of the mode, measure the growth rate very accurately, and then you could study the saturation physics as well. Okay, two view graphs, three, is the simulation now of a phenomenon in real space. Now, one of the interesting physics questions is, if you have a current, how narrow can you make that current channel? At what point does sort of instabilities or things come in to sort of, because you cannot form a true current singularity in nature. So we start off here with a localized current. This is a one-dimensional equilibrium. So here we have a localized current, and we start with very small scale, and a natural scale in the plasma is the collision of skin depth. So we would sort of like to know how close to this collision of skin depth does this current become sort of unstable. So when you localize the current and you form a magnetic field from Ampere's law, that's actually reversed. Okay. So what we have here is a magnetic field coming in and out of the board here, and this profile of B is shown here. So it has a reversed. So this is very a non-equilibrium situation, and so the plasma will eventually, as you localize more and more, will eventually become unstable, and then that's the phenomenon of magnetic collisionless magnetic reconnection. Here, there's no collisions. So we and the free energy driving source is coming from the external field here, and so we have sort of this initial setup. This is now using the gyrokinetic model, and the growth rate. Collisionless theory predicts that you have a positive growth rate, and here you can see we can observe the instability. This growth rate here matches fairly well with this linear phase, and then we get saturation, and we generate. And so you can see our total energy is very well conserved. We can measure the energy. So mostly the magnetic energy is getting converted into electron kinetic energy, and there's some electrostatic energy or vorticity generated. I think Dr. Pegoraro will talk much more about this with a fluid approach, but we can see we can make some comparisons, and if we follow the evolution of the magnetic island width versus time, which is related to the square root of the vector potential strength, here's the y and x here. So in real space, you can see the nice magnetic island growing in time, plotted here, and then we get saturation, and the saturation is about 1.3 times the collisionless skin depth. So what happens is if we try to narrow the current any narrower, we get instabilities, which then basically diffuse the current anomalously, and then you generate this instability. I'll just show this here. Now this is so what happens is you have this initial current. As you try to squeeze it narrower, the instability occurs, and then it actually causes anomalous diffusion of the current, and then you get a current profile which kind of evolves to look like this. So it sort of seems like the collisionist skin depth scale is the smallest scale you could localize current. Okay, my last summary here slide. So I've kind of tried to introduce to you how we use how we implement the particle and cell method in Vlasov and into gyrokinetic systems. I've described some of the issues related to implementation of the algorithm. So far, we've been quite successful in doing electromagnetic problems with low plasma betas, but extensions to higher betas is straightforward. And I've tried to show you a way that we could do low noise calculations near marginal stability so that we could study physics of, say, weak turbulence, for example. Work in progress is related to the long-time dynamics of the marker distribution. If you want to follow, say, Landau damping for or some other phenomenon, instabilities, they're saturating for long times, you have to worry about the movement of the markers away from the place you're trying to resolve things accurately. And also connections with quasi-linear theory. You see that breakup of F into F and zero and delta F is actually not not very unique, so that you can actually make models for F naught. F naught can be, for example, something coming out of, say, quasi-linear diffusion operator, or you could perhaps use it from a nonlinear equilibrium. So it's quite general to what you can use for F naught, but it's interesting to explore the connections with quasi-linear theory. That's the end of my talk. Thanks.